As we continue in worship, we get to read upon the scriptures and hear a word from that. And so before we do so, let us pray. God, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word for today, that it might encourage us and remind us of our call as your disciples. God, I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you would have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to be reading from Luke 9, verses 18 through 27. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at questions Jesus asked. And so this question for today is, who do you say I am? Luke 9, 18 through 27. It says, once when Jesus was praying alone with only the disciples near him, he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others that one of the ancient prophets has arisen. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered, the Messiah of God. He sternly ordered and commanded them to tell no anyone, saying, the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then he said to them all, if anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves? Those who are ashamed of me and my words of them, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So as we read the scripture, if you look before and after in the scriptures, you'll see how Jesus has been with his disciples. He's called his disciples. He's been telling them parables. He's been teaching them. He's been healing people. He's been talking about the nature and the way as the kingdom of God. And they've been traveling different places. Gentiles and Jews have been coming, and he's been teaching. He hasn't turned anyone away. He's shared that he loves all people. And so he's been showing love and forgiving people and listening to people and healing people, even to the point of breaking the law. So in chapter 9, we read this scripture. He had just fed 5,000 people. And then after this scripture, we see the transfiguration. And so while he's with his disciples, it says he's praying. This particular question that Jesus asks his disciples is actually found in all Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's one of the as you look at the parallels between the three Gospels, you'll see this question in all three of those. So he turns, in this particular case, he's praying. And he turns and says, who do the crowds say that I am? And so, at this point, he's asking the disciples, like, have you been following me? Have you been listening? Have you been seeing all that I've been doing? Or have you been scrolling on your phone the whole time? Or have you been sleeping? Or were you listening and understanding what I've been telling and teaching? Were all his efforts fruitful? Or were they in vain? It was kind of this critical moment. And so they answer, well, some say John the Baptist and others Elijah, or maybe one of the prophets that have arisen. You see, these answers that the disciples shared with Jesus were all understandable answers. They're all relevant answers. When something new comes along, we tend to take our impressions of it, if whatever it may be, and we try to squeeze it into familiar language, old language, something we've come to know in the past. When we experience something new and awe-inspiring, we try to use that language in order to get our heads around it and trying to make sense of it. It's hard. And so Jesus was like John the Baptist. He called people to repentance and action and a new way of living. He was like Elijah in that he challenged those in power and was ready to aid the poor and the vulnerable. He was like one of those ancient prophets in that he preached the message of God. So these answers were all like correct. But he was even more than that. He was more than all three of these, John the Baptist and Elijah and all these prophets. And so Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? You who've been with me, who've seen my healings and listening and parables, listen to the parables. Who do you say that I am? What do you think? For you see, if we truly know and believe in Jesus, then everything in our life changes. Jesus once says that if any want to become my followers, then let them deny themselves and take up the cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. When we follow Christ, when we believe in Christ, things change. What the disciples believed was important to Jesus, not for his sake, but for theirs, for ours. Bless you. Their beliefs would not change Jesus, but those beliefs that they have about Jesus could change them. Our beliefs are important because they do things to us and they cause us to do things for others. Most of the time, it's what we believe, it's what directs our choices and our actions, and what we believe about ourselves and what we believe about other people and what we believe about God are paramount importance in the way that we live and the way that we act. And so if I ask you today to pull out a piece of paper and write, well, who do you say Jesus is? You know, and throughout the scriptures and different gospels, and there's different names that people have come to explain Jesus to others. You've heard them before. Maybe you know some of them. Son of David, Son of Man, the Divine Physician, the King, Bridegroom, Light of the World, the Door, the Vine, the High Priest, the Alpha, the Omega. All of these things to explain who Jesus is. Jesus instructs his disciples to, in this case, not tell anyone, as we see the transfiguration and other things as far as Jesus foretelling his death and resurrection. But there's so many times that Jesus does say, share. Live out your understanding, your calling, your experience with Christ. How do we do this? Well, I think the first question becomes, what difference has our relationship with Jesus made in our life? If we watch people and their interactions with our neighbors and our work and our place and at the grocery store, what we post on social media, would they recognize our relationship with Jesus as the main focus of our life? Would the grace of God be evident in the people we meet as the way we live? And one of the ways I see Jesus is a patient God. That's experience like that he was patient with me even when I ran away and didn't want to follow Christ and didn't want to be a pastor and wanted to do other things. Jesus was patient, waiting. And then people were like, we knew it the whole time. And so I try to live patiently with others as Christ was patient with me. Being a Christian is not only to confess that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, but it's to follow the ways of Jesus and to bind our hearts with His as the cornerstone and foundation of who we are as humans. And that changes over time. Believing is not passive, it's active. God uses our experiences, even from yesterday to today to tomorrow, to open our eyes deeper, to see God richer, to renew our faith in Him. And that believing does something, those experiences do something. And so this passage calls us to follow the ways of Christ, to move beyond our particular political or denominational factions, our respective ethnic loyalties, by speaking truthfully, by listening authentically to one another in and through our differences, and to see how Christ has made an impact in each one of our lives. And that impact for me is different than you, but each one is real. Each one is authentic. It's real. And so we can't like say, well, nah, that can't be. You can't see Jesus that way. But it's real for me. It's real for you. So may we boldly put our values on the things from above, trusting in God's promise of eternity. May we choose to join Christ as we bear the cross, even as we lose our life in this world, but we save it in the love of Jesus. There may be some time as you are going about that someone will ask, well, who do you say Jesus is? But not only that, they may ask, what difference does that make in your life? So may we have the confidence to be willing to share the ways that Jesus has made a difference in our life and has changed our life forever and for the good. Let us pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for your ways in which you're at work in our life and how we've experienced you in so many different ways. We experience you a lot through your presence and through the presence of our fellow believers who show up when we are in need, who are there to be a listening ear, who are there to be with us at funerals, and are there when we are welcoming, hopefully, neighbors to a new way of living, and as we're there passing out popsicles to middle schoolers who are hot and sweaty and had a long day. As we're there handing out clothes to those who need a new shirt. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your presence in our life, that we might, through all of these things, help people know the difference that you have made, and that they would come to know you, if they don't, for themselves. It may be in a way not of fear, but of love and grace and generosity. God, be with us. Guide us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.